Project Independence is the aging in place initiative of the town of North Hempstead. One of the many services we offer is help at home with minor home maintenance. Call 311 or 869-6311 to get more information or receive services. Welcome back to Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM and WCWP.org. This is Project Independence and You. I'm your host, John Ryan. My co-host today is Ann Hirsch.
Oh, I'm so looking forward to this next discussion. Very much.
Our first one was terrific with Ann Tarcher and Phoebe Lazarus, who are Executive Director and Executive Vice President of the Great Neck Social Center. And now we're going to be speaking with Assembly Member Charles Levine, who is from District 13. Also known as Chuck. Somebody said, Charles who? No. It's a pleasure. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you, Ann, and thank you, John. And it's a pleasure for me to be here for a few reasons. First of all, many of my dear friends have gone to school here. My wife has her master's from LIU, and this is right around the corner from my house in Glen Cove, along Long Island.
Okay.
So you keep it
Your wife's
nice
a teacher,
and simple.
Right? She's a retired
She's
teacher.
A retired
right.
educator, yes.
Terrific.
Yes.
I want to start off this. We'll go into your college days and everything. But how did it come about that you became an assemblyman? You're here as an assemblyman today. You're also here as a person. But how did that come about?
When I moved to Glen Cove in 1980, and my wife and I were struggling to pay the mortgage on our house, and our house cost us $82,000. That's how long ago that was, but it was still a lot of money. My local city council in the city of Glen Cove had taken it upon itself to conduct foreign policy. So Reagan was president.
Foreign policy.
Foreign policy.
Okay.
And my local city council and mayor decided to bar the Soviets from our tennis courts and our beaches. Now, they didn't use our tennis courts or our beaches. They had their own. But I would come home at night struggling to find the pennies to satisfy the mortgage and see Johnny Carson and other late-night hosts making fun of my little city and, in effect, threatening my investment in my home. So I got involved in local politics and local government in the city of Glen Cove. And eventually that led to me running for the state assembly, although that was quite a few years later.
That's a great story.
Do you come into contact with Tom Suozzi?
Of course.
Because he was very involved with Glen Cove and now what you're doing and everything.
Yes. Yeah. Tom is actually my neighbor. He lives right around the corner from where I live. And when I was on the city council in Glen Cove back in 2004, Tom persuaded me to run against a sitting Democrat who was our assembly representative. Yes, John, it was a primary, and no one should primary anybody else. I know that's the rule in politics, but I did that. And with Tom's backing and the backing of a lot of other people, I narrowly won a primary against a sitting member of the assembly and went to Albany sort of as a pariah. But over the years, managed to have worked my way up the chain of command, and I'm very pleased that I was able to win the support and trust of my colleagues. So yes, no, Tom and I are
primary.
Also.
That was purposeful then.
That was a purposeful thing. Yes,
primary.
But Tom's parents were very dear friends of mine, and I knew Tom's grandfather as well, who did a wonderful job. Tom's grandfather ran and was the inspiration for a settlement house in Glen Cove that helped the immigrants from Italy. And now we're going back to World War I days. So his family's been very dedicated to the betterment of our community, and I have tremendous respect for Tom and for his family.
That's amazing. You know, all these things, especially on Long Island, I've been learning it more and more. The degrees of separation, you know, and the world is smaller and smaller and smaller.
So in my own little hometown of Glen Cove, I've learned that you can't say anything bad about anyone because that you could be talking about someone's brother or their cousin. Conversely, you can't say anything good about anyone because you could be talking to their brother or their cousin and they hate them. So I do my best not to talk too much about anybody. And the same is true in general, I find.
That's the truth. Now, we're going to go back because I do, you know, going over your bio, and we'll talk about stuff that you're doing in the assembly, but honestly, going over the bio, I was very impressed, if I'm saying it right, at the end of Wisconsin, or during your time in Wisconsin.
Yes, I was a student at the University of Wisconsin from 1965 to 1969, so some good things happened there. I met a very nice girl in Spanish class named Ronnie Neuberger from Long Island.
Oh, that's when
and
you met
that's
even.
How I end up being on Long Island, and she's been putting up with me for about half a century.
So,
but also,
So you lived in Wisconsin.
Also, yes, I graduated from high school in the state of Wisconsin. So as an in-state student, my tuition was $125 a semester. And my wife, from out of state, tuition was $525 a semester. So the irony was those of us, the kids from Wisconsin, we used to gripe that they charged us anything.
Right. Actually, you know what, though? I think that's also tremendous that you wound up on Long Island, because many times it's the reverse.
Yes.
You know, it's where the fella is, it seems the girl stays because chances are you're going to have some sort of a route there and you keep going. That's, you know.
Well, when we graduated, Ronnie told me that she really didn't much care what happened to me. She was coming back to New York.
Okay.
I wisely followed her back.
And it's been good.
It has been good, John.
But tell me about the Robert Theobald?
There was a group which
I think this is so important because, you know, when you look back on what somebody does, okay, and this is in college, then you appreciate that's a person that wanted to get involved. That's the point. And now here you are as assemblyman X number of years later. It just didn't come to you then. It's obviously a style of your personality to do things
for
people. Well,
thank you, John. It's nice of you to mention that. And as we say in Brooklyn, coming right back at you. So the years I was at Wisconsin, 1965 to 1969, were very troublesome years, not only for the state of Wisconsin, the University of Wisconsin, but for America in general. When I started in 1965, very few people were discussing Vietnam. Although from where I grew up in the state, I knew a lot of the kids who I grew up with were going into the service and eventually were going to Vietnam, and many of them were lost. But at any rate, so there was turmoil in those years, tremendous turmoil, and I think that turmoil has informed the way I look at things in general. I think government has a true responsibility to protect all its citizens. But one of the things that I was involved with at Wisconsin was called the Symposium Society. And the Symposium group brought in well-known speakers from all over the country, and they spoke to the students, and they were questioned, and I was in charge of a particular sociologist whose name was Robert Theobald. And Theobald, now again, this is the mid-60s, was predicting that the day will come when we will all be slaves to computers, that's how we will get all of our information. And he was certainly ahead of his time, but it was certainly a fascinating experience to meet with him, and very stimulating to listen to what he had to say. He was a sociologist and an economist as well. So, and I was in charge of that particular segment of the presentation. Got to meet him, got to interact with some of my professors, and had it not been for that, I would have been probably too intimidated to speak to my professors, and got them to come to the program, and it was interesting. A lot of interesting people spoke at the University of Wisconsin through this symposium program.
So was your background poli-sci?
My major is in English literature. And somebody might think, what good is that? But I have found from the perspective of being able to read what people write, to be able to write myself, and to be able to grasp the understanding of what people, especially my colleagues or people in government, are writing or saying, was a real gift. So I don't regret that for a moment, although I will admit there were quite a few poets whose work I read where, frankly, I don't think I understood one word whether I read it from front to back or back to front.
Now, graduate work, being in law school, was not in Wisconsin. It was here in New York?
It was in Lower Manhattan at New York Law School.
And that's where you got focused on political elements, or what was
I think it was just a very political time. And, of course, there was still great turmoil in the country, even as I was going to law school, and great turmoil in New York City. and I was involved with the Student Bar Association. But one of my some of my fondest memories from law school involved being able to walk two blocks over to the courts to watch the great trials that were going on in the federal court and in the state court, because my law school was only a couple blocks away. So, and sometimes that was a little more beneficial than actually sitting in class. But we had an interesting system at my law school, because it was the elevator operators who, and I shouldn't probably say this, but the statute of limitations is long run. Tuition, not tuition, but attendance was taken by the elevator operators. And in those days, a small stipend, let us say, to certain of the elevator operators meant that we could be marked present even on days when we were in the neighborhood but weren't exactly sitting in the seats we were assigned to. So that gave me a good chance to go over to the courthouse, and I got to see some wonderful trials. And then I was very fortunate, because when I graduated, I was hired to work as a public defender by the Legal Aid Society of the City of New York.
And that's another interesting. Actually, you know what? Can we take a little earlier? We're going to take a break, because I want to talk about legal aid, because
sure.
I think that's a really significant thing that we have. You're listening to Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM and WCWP.org. We'll be right back.